Most of you know that I'm kind of a car person. I love cars. And so one of the most exciting times of my whole life was the year I learned to drive. First day of driver's education, of course, we had a coach teaching us, because that's what coaches do. Coach Williams said, okay, you're getting ready to drive the car. What's the first thing you do? And everybody in the class said, start the car, start the car. And he said, no, first you close and lock all doors. Now, what's the next thing? Start the car, start the car. No, you have to adjust the seat. Then adjust the mirrors. Then fasten your seat belts. Then you can start the car. It is human nature to want to jump ahead to the good part. We always want to put it on fast forward and get to that part we have so been looking forward to with little thought of any preparation that it requires to get there. We get ahead of ourselves and want to just get to that place we've been dreaming about. Today's gospel, in part, reminds me of a teenager learning how to drive. The disciples are getting way ahead of themselves and dreaming about who would be the greatest among them, about the fame they would enjoy for having been in Jesus' inner circle when Jesus' identity becomes known. Jesus tried to tell them what must happen first. But they only focused on their own status and where they would end up. Basically, the disciples were saying, start the car! But Jesus was saying that much preparation must go into getting to that point. Is being the greatest what Jesus promises? Not in the sense that some people interpret. There is a dangerous strand of theology, pop theology out there now, called the prosperity gospel, in which the followers of Jesus are rewarded with material success. If you follow Jesus and you pray, and by the way, if you send the evangelist a check for X amount, then you will get that house you want. Or you will get that car you want. That is not what Jesus was bringing us. Success and prosperity in this world. We do, though, if we follow Jesus, we get to be the greatest in the sense that we take on the mind of Christ. We put love first, and we let go of those other pursuits we previously needed to validate and elevate us. Through that preparation and that imitation of Jesus, we go to a place where nothing can hurt us, even death. As followers of Christ, we put aside the things that are passing away, like our worry over status. And we embrace the love of God, which is the one thing that cannot pass away and cannot be taken from us. Our collect that we use for this day in the church here urges us not to be anxious about earthly things, but to love things heavenly. Excuse me. The disciples wanted to put the worldly stuff first because they didn't understand what form of Messiah Jesus would be. Jesus told them what must come first. The preparation before the power of this world over us could be vanquished. You don't start in that place you dreamed of. You get there by preparing yourself and detaching from things here so that you can love things heavenly. Then, at that point, we are capable of helping others instead of always competing. Jesus tells us, whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all. In other words, what we must do to prepare to be freed from this world is to love God and love other people. And when we get to that point where that is our complete focus, nothing in this world can hurt us. But we don't start there. We have to prepare. We have to let go of our anxiety about earthly things. We have to let go of our need for status. We get to a point, sometimes even just in a moment, where we realize that everything can be destroyed except the love we have felt for God and other people. Jesus proved that fact by loving his enemies so much that he forgave those who killed him. Death didn't win. Love and forgiveness won. Much must happen before we can be the greatest, at least in the sense of reaching a place where no one else can touch us or hurt us. That overcoming of death, isn't that what we're all after ultimately? To face everything in this world, including the end of this world for us, to face it all without fear? Jesus couldn't tell them, don't be afraid of death. First, he had to be elevated in the society, be followed, and then be arrested, tortured, and killed, and rise again. All of that had to go first before they could claim, I understand what Jesus is saying. I need not be afraid of death. But we have to let go of our attachments. If we end those attachments, we end the cravings that are at war within us. We find peace within us. And wouldn't that be just the greatest? To know that no human being can hurt you? To know that even death cannot defeat you or those people you love? Everything of this world, everything material and physical, can be taken away. But we can find a place where no one and no thing of this world can defeat us. We can't get there immediately. We are human beings, and it takes preparation. But it cannot be reached at all if we cling to the things of earth. We have to prepare first. We have to change our idea of what the Messiah looks like. We have to trust in God even when evil seems to win over good. We have to let go of things that are passing away and embrace the love of God and neighbor, that one thing that cannot be taken away. Finally, after all of those steps, we will be ready to become the greatest in the sense that no one and nothing can hurt us and bring us down. Finally, after that preparation of dying to self and embracing things heavenly, we're getting somewhere. Finally, we start to get to the place where we have the mind of Christ and we live in the greatest place, the place where no one can hurt us. We've done the preparation. Now we can come to the good part. Finally, kids, it's time to start the car.